All right, hey everybody, welcome to another episode of New Guy You Stuff. It's your boy Justin. If you're on YouTube, be sure to just subscribe to the channel. If you are streaming this from like Spotify, iTunes, Overcast, Anchor, any other websites, or streaming services, please be sure to hit the subscribe button, like it, give me some feedback. 5 stars if you love it, 5 stars if you hate it. Constructive feedback is always the best, whether you like it or not. So I appreciate y'all for doing that. Don't forget to follow the podcast on Twitter, New Guy You Stuff, at New Guy You Stuff. Excuse me, I should have brushed my hair before I got on camera, but yeah, on Twitter at New Guy You Stuff, and of course the email if you ever have like questions or suggestions for things you want me to cover. NewGuyYouStuff@gmail.com. But hey everyone, happy today, whenever you're watching this. Today's episode, man, we'll cover a few things. The first thing I'm going to cover is my selling experience, or my experience so far on Poshmark for the past 24 hours. We're going to talk about, or I'm going to go over my Sunday, my secondhand Sunday item. One thing I want to show you I bought secondhand that really enjoyed as a purchase. And then the last thing, or the third thing we'll cover, maybe not necessarily last, will be just 3 types of questions that you're going to get from interested buyers that are going to annoy you, but you got to answer them anyway. All right? So, yeah, let's go ahead and get into this. For the first part, we'll actually just go ahead and do the secondhand Sunday item. This will be featured on, you know, the Twitter page is an individual post, but for this episode, and that's for the people listening, if you're watching at home, I have my Canon camcorder right here. It is a Canon Vixia HFR300. It's an HD camcorder I bought a few years ago for $60 or so, and then I upgraded and got a bigger, or a second battery pack. It's big, the extended version. That was like another $35. So overall, I spent about $110 at the time on this. And the reason I purchased this was because I just wanted the camcorder to start recording some of my comedy sets, amongst other things. And this actually did a decent job. It is an HD camcorder, but it's more of a budget line version, so it's not going to have the crazy kind of quality that, you know, higher-end cameras can have at times, because it's not a high-end camera or a camcorder. But it does record in HD. Has a CMOS 1920 HD, by the way, CMOS lens, better quality lens, image stabilization. It really is a great camcorder. It flipped the screen so you could see what you're recording if you were on one side of the camera or the other. It was beautiful. Only reason I'm selling this is because I recently upgraded to the camera I just bought. It's the Canon Rebel T21. It's about a 10-year-old camera, but with the lens and the quality it still has, and the battery and the charger, I think it ran me about $110 with shipping. And it shoots a lot more beautifully than this one did, and I just needed some better quality stuff. So hopefully as I'm recording this, and as you're seeing this, if you're on YouTube, you can tell the difference between this and the last few videos I shot with this, for the card unboxings and the rest of the podcast. But yeah, that's a Canon Vixia HFR300. I'm going to be selling it on eBay or Craigslist soon, so if you're interested, please be sure to say so in the posts, or just, you know, shoot me a DM, or just look for it on eBay or Craigslist when it's out there. Plan to get that back on there today. But that's the secondhand item purchase. Again, it held up beautifully. Might have dropped it 1 or 2 times, but there's no damage to it. It's really nice. All right, that being said, I guess we can go into Poshmark. So Poshmark, if you're not familiar, is mainly a clothing and accessory selling app. You can get it on iTunes or Android, I believe. It's just Poshmark. And I think their website is just poshmark.com. I've only went on it once. But it's an interesting app so far. So again, the main thing you're allowed to sell on there are pieces of clothing, accessories, makeup, and such. So what I did over the past 24 hours, I linked it to my Twitter. So I made sure any listings I had shared out. But I have listed 17 items so far. And it's just interesting because this, compared to like eBay or Craigslist, is so easy to list with. Like, it asks you for some specifics, but not too many. And honestly, you could, if you already have the pictures done or taken, you can knock out a listing in less than 2 minutes. And even then, if you're taking like a handful of photos, you can knock that out in like 2 to 3 minutes tops. It only asks for a few different things, which I think are important. It asks for photos, a title, a description, brand, color, category, and a couple other things. Brand, price. Original purchase price, which was interesting, and the selling price. So some of the good things I liked about it so far were the ease I was able to list things. Those 17 items didn't take more than an hour in total to list. For each posting, I think most of my time invested had to go towards just taking decent photos, but I only took like a handful of each at best to list them. Another thing I liked about it is if you haven't used Poshmark before and you're interested in selling clothes, something it does that other websites like eBay don't really do, maybe because of the way it's set up, but they automatically give you the price of how much you're going to keep after they take their cut. Because of some of the cut, it's a higher fee that they take the cut for, but they do offer, as a seller, it's really cool. They don't make you charge for shipping. It's something that the customer does have to pay for. And their shipping prices, from what I've heard and seen from other people that use it, are a little bit more on the expensive side. But as a seller, it's just good to know that you know how much money you're going to be able to keep after you sell it if it goes for that price. So yeah, that's one thing. One thing I did try to do, and I usually try to do this when embarking on new services or getting ready to try new things, I watched a few YouTube videos on Poshmark and just the ease of selling. Now, I forget this young lady's name, but she's a top seller on Poshmark, and she was giving some good advice. One thing I didn't know about Poshmark before I went into it is basically a social media platform, and you really can only succeed if you are active on the website in that case. So you're going to have to, at some point, or when you first sign up for Poshmark, even before you list anything, you'll start to notice. I started noticing that I just kept having a lot of people follow me. I think if I look at it now, I have if I can find it, let's say at least 40 followers, right? And the more I posted things, the more followers I seem to get. But that's a big thing for Poshmark. They're going to want you to be able to follow people. Again, to build up kind of like a Twitter in a sense. You get to see what they post in that regard. You don't have to be friends and see their most intimate thoughts, because it's not that kind of platform. But it is really one of the only ways to succeed on this, is to follow people and share their listing. So kind of like you share a post on Twitter, you share someone else's items on Poshmark, because it helps get the word out, and then usually they pay you the favor back of sharing something out. I've shared back something, at least for every person that shared something for me, and then a couple other people whose items I like but weren't in my size when I was doing some general browsing. So that's good to know that. It's good to know that, and because that's not something I would have normally thought to do, is to start sharing and liking and da da da. It seemed really random. I wasn't sure if they were like bots or what, but now that I noticed the game, it's something good to keep in mind. Like, the rate I generated followers on Poshmark is higher than I did for, or had for Twitter. Like, Twitter, I have like 100, excuse me, for this account, excuse me, I have about 17 followers, and here in Poshmark, you have like 40, so it's just interesting to me. That happens. One thing she also said to keep in mind is that you have to share your own posts. So like at least once a week, if not at least once a day, sharing some of the items you have back to your followers, and the Poshmark is a good thing to try. So in general, as a seller, it's a very easy process to set it up. A couple things that I'm concerned about already is just like the frequency that people will be actually buying things on there as compared to eBay. In general, if it's not name brand, like high-end name brand clothing, especially new ones that you're dealing with, People definitely try to undercut you if there's even any interest at all, because the supply of used clothing definitely outweighs the demand. And it has for a while and probably will always. I don't know, unless like the world floods and all the new clothing factories are washed away. Then maybe used stuff might have it shot or is day in the sun. That being said, though, the other thing I'm concerned about is just like the pricing. So from the three videos I saw, I noticed that most people, and I, even through some of the people that I follow or follow me on Poshmark, their listings aren't terribly expensive generally. There's some places that specialize in selling products under a certain amount. And I know for some of the clothes I paid, I generally don't like dropping the price initially. Most of the postings I have right now do fall under a $15 threshold. Generally, the only things that are higher than that are one Michael Kors shirt. I only wore a few times. It's in pristine condition. And a couple of New Era fitteds that I got for $20 and $17 respectively. Which I don't think are bad prices, but in terms of how much people are willing to pay for in here, one thing you have to keep in mind, and it's something I had to keep in mind too when it, going back and adjusting my prices, is that because Poshmark does charge so much for shipping, that not everybody's going to be able or want to just buy one item from you. Generally, they'll want to buy at least a couple, so they can keep shipping costs down. So one thing that I saw that they also did too is sellers and recommended is that you offer bundled deals in your posting, because the general practice of Poshmark is people are buying more than one thing. Unless it's something super expensive where like the shipping price for it justifies it a little bit more easily, you're gonna expect to sell usually at least 2 to 3 items at a time. So with that, Poshmark does encourage you to offer bundled listing discounts, which is at least 10% off from the selling price that you have it advertised for, and then a discount off of shipping to some degree. So one thing I'm learning how to do is try to navigate the pricing on this website, and more like I'm gonna keep my prices as I kind of want to sell them for based on how much I'm gonna get afterwards. As what they are right now, but if I have to start dropping prices, I will. Moving forward, though, if I can get some traction on this maybe in the next couple of weeks, then I definitely will be using it more to sell my used clothes on as opposed to eBay. Only thing I'm not sure about so far is how like Poshmark's customer services and like scammers and how do people scam. Like, I understand the general practices, like people have to do it on eBay and stuff, but I'm new to this world, so unless I do some more studying or find out through firsthand experience, I'm not really sure what to think about their returns and like scamming kind of situations are. But yeah, Poshmark looked very interesting. I was considering checking out some other apps like Mercari and stuff, but I settled on Poshmark. One, because I already had it on my phone and meant to use it, but once I started listing stuff, it was just so easy. Excuse me. So easy to do. So yeah, I'm liking it so far. In theory, let's see how well I can. Oh, excuse me, I have 137 followers, and I'm following 142 people. Yeah, that is all within 24 hours. So that's basically how it goes. Like, if you sign up now, you'll probably have 50 followers before you go to sleep. Cool. Okay, but that's Poshmark. Keep your fingers crossed for me that it works out. The last thing I want to cover though for you guys in this episode. It's just the sellers. This episode is more about selling my secondhand item. I am practicing selling on Poshmark. So I thought, based on, well, actually, let's just say this. I had a customer, potential customer anyway, from Craigslist for some stuff I was trying to sell, hit me up. And I'm not sure if you guys sell before, but there's just certain questions that always can bug you for one reason or another. This guy was asking me how much is the lowest I would go on a listing on Craigslist. So I am selling, I think, a PSP on there, and I have it advertised for like 70 to 80. So I have a price on there. So when someone emails me and asks, what's the lowest I'm willing to go? One, it's not a question I normally even am trying to respond to. because you could tell from that kind of phrasing that they're looking to undercut you a little bit at the minimum, if not just trying to get a good deal off of you. And as someone who can't afford to lose that money that way, that's not happening. But it's just annoying because you have a price right there. Like a respectful or easier to deal with question when it comes to pricing would be, and this is a, telling you buyers, as a buyer, from a seller's point of view, it would be a lot better if you asked, hey, would you be willing to settle for this price? Because at least we have a starting point. When you're saying what's the lowest I'm going to go, I'm going to be annoyed because clearly if I put a price there, that's ideally the lowest I would go. Now, it's not to say having asked questions along those lines, but not as so annoyingly to other people when I'm trying to buy stuff. Some people are willing to budge and, you know, negotiate with you, which is always good, you know what I mean? Get the best deal you can, but at the same time, there's just certain ways you gotta come at a seller. And as someone who's experienced with this, as opposed to someone who's really in a need to sell certain things, at least with this item, I'm not. It's a little insulting and annoying, so I ended up just saying, I'm good, thank you, and didn't get a response back. But it was a question, as annoying it was, I had to answer because I need to practice good customer service. If they were willing to offer, you know, more than 70, go for it. But, or if they were really interested, I think they would have made an offer back. They didn't. So clearly, I think they were just trying to sneak a deal off, which you can do on Craigslist. It's just not the way, and I'm not the one for it. Two, okay. Another question that's just annoying in general, and not as annoying as the what's the lowest you're willing to go, but excuse me one second, I need to pause this and we'll pick this back up. Hey, welcome back to the podcast. Sorry for the delay. We're in the two parts to this one. Camera battery died. The only thing about cameras that's annoying to have happen, and when you only have one, you gotta let it charge some. So let it charge. Now we're back. Now just do a quick recap of where we're at with this video. I'm gonna wrap this up with, I keep saying words that rhyme. This last part was about three types of questions, or three examples of questions that really annoy me as a seller, and I'm pretty sure it annoys other people too. So the first one was questions about things already in the listing. And again, we understand people can, you know, possibly gloss over things, but when it becomes like all the questions, like 10 questions, and you answered 12 of them already in the posting, that can get annoying. The second thing was, what's the lowest you'll go? So like when you have a price listed on something, or like for, especially for me, for Craigslist, if I have a price state of listing, I have a price, and someone hits me with, so how much, what's the lowest you'll go for? It's like, this doesn't even feel like they're trying to negotiate. It feels like they're trying to make some money off of you. So in those cases, I usually say, no, I'm good, thank you. And then for the first one, excuse me, when people ask stuff that's already in the listing, we'll say, hey, this is the answer. I'll just copy and paste, hey, this is the answer. Please be sure to look at the rest of the listing in case you have any other questions. If you have any others that aren't there, please get back to me. Lastly, the third type of question I hate is a will you deliver kind of question. So, especially if you're selling furniture and stuff, you might have experience with somebody saying, hey, especially if you're like on Craigslist or something, hey, would you be willing to deliver this? Now, generally, if it's furniture, you should put in the posting, hey, this is pickup only, no delivery, stuff like that. And if someone asks that question, it's okay if it's like a piece of furniture. Now, if they're talking about like a shirt, like, hey, see, you're selling the shirt, do you deliver? My instinct is to say no. But then you'll have people like, are you willing to deliver? I see you're in DC. Can you deliver it to Nebraska? It's like, why are you trying to waste my time with this? And like, it's very frustrating to hear those kind of questions. But that can be answered with a simple no. If you want some good practice on how to handle these kind of customer service type questions, it's like to tell you, like in office work, get really mad, write your email as mad and as thoroughly expressive of your feelings as possible. Read it and then delete it and then send the real one. Usually after you've had a chance to vent and let those feelings be expressed in a very uncontrolled way or non-micromanaged way, it feels a lot better to have that release that way and then to respond calmer versus just like letting them have it, and then you could, that could lead to some unfortunate things, because as a seller you really are dependent on the buyer to buy things from you. So go ahead and blow off your steam and then, kind of like they say, get back to work, cry, and then pick yourself up later. So those are the three things I wanted to touch on, three types of questions. I thank you guys for listening, though. I'm going to wrap this up now. Please be sure to follow on YouTube, iTunes, Spotify, Anchor, anywhere that you're listening or watching this on. Also, please be sure to hit up the Twitter, at New Guy You Stuff. Please send me your secondhand Sunday stuff. I want to see it. Love to give any feedback that I can or answer any questions. Or if you're just interested in possibly buying something, I had one young lady reach out to me on Twitter asking some questions about furniture when I bought furniture recently and what kind of things to look for when it's secondhand. So I gave her some tips of things I try to look out for when buying furniture. But if you have any questions like that for clothes, et cetera, please let me know. If you have any feedback or things you'd like to know about in the future, in future episodes, please let me know on that too, at the Twitter preferably. But if you're on YouTube, feel free to leave a comment. If you want to hit the email, you can. newguyyoustuff@gmail.com. All right, but thank you guys for paying attention to this. Always appreciate you taking the time to listen. It's your boy Justin. I'll be back as soon as I can with another episode. Until then, take care. All right.